two nights ago.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. It was a cool show. Carmen Esposito was on it. Who else was on it?
Ta-da!
I love it.
We're on.
Oh my god. Holy shit. You know,
it is what it is.
Do you guys still do weed? You probably don't anymore.
Yeah.
What? Give it up.
Good evening, probably. Everybody. It's Thursday, November 30th. It's going to be a chill night. Our buddy Reggie Watts is here, and I'm opening this. I was going to do this for her, but you might want some, too.
I might want some.
These are Rick Simpson oil tablets.
Oh,
do you like the tablets?
Snorfs.
The tablets are great for
I've
her.
I've never had the tablets. I'm down with tabs.
Are you a 25 or a 50 kind of guy?
Oh, Jesus. I'd probably do a 25. Right. I've done 50s, and 50s are always like, I like the idea of it, but then I'm like, maybe that's
there
a bit
are a lot
much.
If you can't add or subtract.
Yes, exactly. And I think 25 is already pretty high, so it's, you know, for most people. Most people are used to 5.
I think most people, 10 usually.
Yeah, 5
most
or
people
10.
Over. 50, yeah. She doesn't feel it.
Really?
Yeah, it would take 2 50s for her to be like, that's nice.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty nuts. So anyway, I'm going to give you 2 25s for now over here.
Okay. Nice.
125 over here, and if you want to,
well, you
do whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
You can under your tongue it. You can swallow it.
Oh,
it's
Emerald
Rick Simpson oil.
Yeah, RSO
tablets. Anyway, Thursday, November 30th, 2023. The good news is our friend Reggie Watts is back. You've been on tour and all sorts of stuff. I think it's best if you lick it on your tongue. Are you scuffing it?
That's for
it's
everybody.
Perfect for podcasting.
Yeah, ASSR.
ASSR?
You know, standard.
It's ASSR. It's ASSR.
Yeah, like I've always thought it was ASSR. I never knew that it was ASMR.
I only learned about it recently, and now I'm
really?
All into it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now I go to bed with that stuff, and
it's
stimulates
great.
My mind.
Yeah, it's great. I mean,
how
you
did
know,
I not know
the right sounds? I mean, you knew there just wasn't a name for it.
Binaural beats.
Yeah, binaural beats. Yeah. Binaural beats.
Happy Thanksgiving. You've missed a lot, my friend. A lot's been going on.
Yeah,
what's going on in your life?
I don't know. It's not that exciting.
What?
I don't know.
There's a whole big blue card here. I will say this to the folks at home. We got a new iPad. Sponsors, we need $1,000. It's that simple. We have a new iPad here in the desk that's running everything. Everything's going smoothly.
Wow.
We love it, but we need $1,000. So sponsors, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes the magic just has a way of working itself out. Good vibes last week,
yeah.
Black Friday.
Yeah, I heard it was crazy.
It was.
I wish I would have gone. I almost went, and I was like,
were you in town? You were back?
I was back, but I'd just gotten back from Portugal with Johnny Lieberman and
Porsche. That's on the card.
Porsche. Yeah, Porsche. 911 GT3 Club and 911 GT3 R cars that we got to experience. I mean, I didn't get to drive them, but I got to ride along in the cup. But we came back, and so I was like a little discombobulated, and I was like, I have a feeling I should go this Friday, but it was crazy, huh?
It was crazy.
Like super packed.
Like super packed, but amazingly good vibe, and no incidents, no driving incidents, no road incidents. Like everything was super positive.
Wow.
But we got there because somebody saved us a spot. We had the whole day there, and we had no idea the scale of it until afterwards when people's videos started hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
And here, can I show you? This is you know Paul Rivera
with
the orange Lambo.
Yeah.
This is Paul Rivera trying to find parking on Friday. This is arriving. Orcialago.
Oh, yeah.
We're not even to Newcomb yet.
Whoa.
Now we're at Newcomb. Just passing the...
Oh, there's Tycon there. I always feel like people say, like, Tycon. So, like, that doesn't count.
It does too count.
Great car.
So, you know, we're sitting there the whole time. We have no idea what's going on up the hill.
Wow. What a Jonah Hill. So, you don't even have your turnaround.
Max! We'll turn
see how easy that is. You know, usually you just, whoop, you're people walking down.
What? What happened?
Like, look at this, both sides up at the cabin, filled on the left, filled on the right.
Another Taycan.
Double wide.
What the?
Too deep?
No. How is that even possible? That's not, is he at Newcomb? No, he passed Newcomb.
We're way past, we're almost to the straight. We're going up the straight now.
Oh, I've never seen that. I've never, ever. The most I've seen is like some people parking down on the side, the shoulder, and that's it. This is insane. What is going on? Did people just walk all the way down from
yep.
there?
Well, there wasn't a shuttle bus, if that's what you mean.
I mean, maybe someone like, had a car and they were dropping people off or something.
That would actually be pretty smart. Thanks. Thanks for that in the future.
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy? And then he turns around and comes back down.
Jesus. That is the most. That's the most, right?
It's got to be. It's got to be. People kept saying, oh, they're all the way around the bend. And we were like, well, we've heard about that before. Sure.
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
heard, you know, we've heard toy drive. There's always been special occasions.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was crazy. And I have no idea why. Just Black Friday, I guess, because everybody's off.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe this Friday will be more chill.
I think so, except we got the toy drive, which is going to be fun.
Oh, what's the toy drive? Is it for the cops?
It's for needy families.
No, it's just for cops. Cops need toys. Yeah, it lowers their stress levels. They're less likely to shoot people.
Sean Lee from Purist Group.
Sorry.
I don't care.
I just put water on a very important desk. I apologize.
I think that was a stupid human trick as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Good job.
All right, thanks. Thanks. You're my pleasure. What is that? Thank you. You're my pleasure. I'm spilling coffee on my leg now. It's just like, it's not ending. It's not in here. I'm putting this down here. Okay, you got some Kleenex. Sorry, guys. I'm the worst. The worst guest. Have me on your shows, guys. You'll always have
welcome back.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. This is a great way to be. Okay, that's better. I feel a little
it's
bit
only worried. For you. I really didn't care. Do you know what the stuff that the Letterman team did to this?
What's that? Who did?
The Letterman people. Yeah, what they used to do to this?
I guess they had to make a pretty like indestructible desk, didn't they?
Yeah, or easy to fix.
Yeah, or easy to fix.
All the wood's just painted on.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay.
Speaking of doing shows, though, did you literally just come from Whitney's podcast?
No. You know, it was on my schedule, and then it suddenly was not on my schedule. So I guess it just disappeared. I imagine
maybe she had the baby.
I don't. Yeah. Oh, did she have a baby? Does she have a baby?
She's pregnant.
Text Helen Levinson. Oops. Sorry. So, text Helen Levinson. Did I not? Was I supposed to have the Whitney Cummings podcast today? Question mark. Or did she have a baby? Question mark. Okay, great. Now we're going to solve that on air.
Get to the bottom of this right
on
now.
Air. I love on air. Okay.
Okay. Well, then but you're still doing a ton of, you're like on tour right now, as far as I'm concerned. You seem to be on the book tour.
Well, I was on tour. I was, yes. I don't know how much is left of it, though, because I have some, I have like some podcasts that, you know, that feature the book, but I don't have any like bookstore book signing things in the near future. So yeah, so I think I'm done with the physical tour and then I'm still promoting it.
Great Falls available now?
Yeah, Great Falls, Montana, available on Amazon, or go down to your local bookstore. If they don't have it, order it through them, give them the business. But or you can do Audible. It's on Audible. It might be on something else too that you can get the audiobook somewhere else, but as far as I know, Audible is the way to go.
Did you read it?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I narrated it.
Oh, excellent. So the book on tape is you?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I didn't want to
know what I'm doing.
okay.
What's that experience like? I've talked to people who've done it, and I've heard varying responses.
It's very intense. It's like you have to be very focused, and you know, I don't know. I guess some people probably really get into embodying the book, and they get into the emotionality of it. And for me, I was like, just get through this book. You know, like I just wanted to, because I don't know, because it's such intense concentration that just, it's a lot of work. Like you get done, I get done at the end of the day, and I'm like, I was so haggard. It was crazy.
How many days did it take?
Took I want to say it took like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And like maybe like 5 hours a day or something.
Oh, my goodness. That must be exhausting.
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, you got to keep the energy up the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Keep the energy up and keep it consistent, you know, have fun and, you know, or try to have fun or sound like you're having fun. But no, it was a challenge. But I mean, I'm glad I did it. People were very, very happy with it. And I have a lot of friends that are like, I just got done with the audiobook. I'm so glad I listened to the audiobook. And so that's good.
Instead of reading it?
Yeah, instead of reading it. Some people have read it and heard and listened to the audiobook, which is sweet.
I would be interested in that. Because like, I feel like when you read it, you're putting your own visuals in. And somehow when you're describing it, it's your own voice. Like there's different inflections.
Yeah, for sure. And the book also has like, it does stuff with fonts. And like my friend said, he was like, I think some people, and I think he was reading reviews in Amazon. There's not that many. There's like 5 reviews or something like that. But some people are.
So when you buy the book, go review it on Amazon.
Yeah, please review it. Yeah, if you do buy it on Amazon, review it. Let me know what you think. But it definitely, it's if you're a serious reader, you might be annoyed with the book because it plays with font sizes and there's QR codes that you can scan and stuff. So it's not a serious reader's book, but it's my book and it's about my life. So fuck everybody. Just kidding.
It seems like everything else you're involved in, it's an experience.
Yeah, it's always an experience. I mean, you know, like I'm going to try to do something interesting with it because I'm not really a book person. So, you know,
is it just an outdated medium because you communicate so much more through your both comedy and music?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I research stuff. I read a lot by researching. I'm constantly reading technology articles, you know, articles about, you know, cars, engineering, science, art, architecture. And I'm just like going through my news feed, just checking out all these, the things that I'm interested in. And so I feel like whenever I've tried to start reading, I like the idea of it. It's a very romantic notion of like, I've got a book and I'm going to read this book. But I don't know. I read like a few chapters and then I'm kind of
putting down
done.
Something is that? Do you think that's generational? Because I'm similar there, and it's not like we have a million things in common, but that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I read books when I was younger. I finished books,
and
I liked it. Yeah, that was great. But then, like, when in my 20s, I just started. The books I would get were more informational books, like they were books on, you know, like the Tao of Physics. Mm. You know, like these books written by. Either metaphysicians or theoretical physicists that were drawing parallels to Eastern mysticism or something like that. And so they were more books of that ilk. And then after that, I wasn't really reading.
It's just where your interest lied, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's harder for me to... But I do listen to audiobooks, so that's been sweet.
Doing the car?
Yeah, the car, mostly. Car trips. Yeah, whenever. But mostly car. Sometimes I go to bed. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But the timer, you know, it's like you can just put it on you like for 20 minutes and it'll read for 20 minutes.
Does it do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to do that. I just found the timer on the Apple TV the other day and I'm really excited about that. It changed my life.
Oh, that's crazy. To know like when it's going to like,
so you can turn it off like if you're watching in bed or whatever. It's like a sleep timer for your TV.
Oh, that's great.
But Apple TV kind of, that was more of an old school thing and Apple TV was sort of new school. Right. Now they've adopted some of the old school
tech. And you can do it by voice. You can just tell Siri.
Good question. We don't use any of that because I'm
old
and paranoid, I guess. I don't know why. Bless you.
Excuse me.
But however, with the remote somehow, yeah.
Right. Got it.
On and on.
Well, we solved a lot of problems. you guys out there, just know that you can do that if you want.
I'm excited to be able to do it with audiobooks because it changed my life with the TV.
It's true. With the audiobook, it's good because then you don't get this... Oh, you know, like it just kept going for like a whole...
Right, you got to find your place. Yeah, you find hassle. It again.
Yeah, hard to stop.
Hard to stop.
Like
that's true too.
Yeah.
I feel like producers were like, keep it going. And you know more than me, but the ones...
hours listened.
The ones I've heard, yes. And the ones I've heard are like, leave cliffhangers to the end of chapters to follow up.
Yes, that's true.
Oh my god! Yeah, so that they keep them. Oh my god!
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're about to go to sleep, and then they like end it with this thing. You're like, oh, I better keep listening.
Such a nightmare.
That's not cool.
Previously on Great Falls.
Yeah, it's like last time we were learning about why Robitussin is you know, like, I was like, really? That's what we were learning about? Is that learning? Does that count as learning?
It should.
Was this the first book you wrote?
Yes, first book.
What was the experience like? I've always kind of wanted to do it, but it's really, really intimidating.
It was pretty chill. I worked with a ghostwriter, and I just sat on my couch and recounted stories, and we kind of honed in on things that, you know, we wanted to get.
Oh, really?
More specific, and yeah, it felt almost like a therapy session in a way.
So you sort of like dumped all the stuff, and they said, okay, great. Well, it's going to be about Great Falls.
Yeah. Well, I wanted it to be about my time in Great Falls High, and kind of that's the most detailed part of it, because I want to make a movie, you know, about it, or a series about it. And so my management was like, well, one of the easiest ways is to write a book. And
because it gets the story out there, right? Perpetuates the story a little bit.
Yeah, and then people can read it. You know, they can get an idea of like, ooh, does this translate into a movie? I think it does. Many people, without me prompting them, said like, oh, this should be a movie. I'm like, okay, great, cool.
Movie for sure, but I'd love the idea of a show. Just
I'd love to see
all the different...
Series would be great. I would love that. I'd love to be involved with that, you know, just to kind of be there, try to get the tone correct, and hopefully get some of the music that we were listening to, the license to some of the music we were into.
We both worked on Chris Rock's show where it was him growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Who could you see playing the young Reggie, high school Reggie character? Or is it going to be you like Howard Stern did himself?
Oh, my God. probably not that. I mean, Stern's cool, but you know, I don't know. It'd probably be an unknown.
Okay.
You know, that's why I think all of the cast would be unknown.
Tyler James was unknown at the time. He hadn't done much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's better for the story, because then people can attach themselves to a clean slate.
Was why they did it for Chris's show. It's like they have enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
there's a whole blank canvas to work with.
Yeah,
that way the Reggie character is the star, and you're not attaching a celebrity to it. You know?
Yeah, I think that's always difficult, because whenever I watch stuff with celebrities playing, you know, someone else in a biopic or something, I'm always like, is this not Peter Falk? Is this Peter Falk as the character? Am I able to forget that it's Peter Falk and I just like, you know, fall into the character? Is that going to happen? Because most of the time I'm just thinking like, oh, that's Peter Falk.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Peter Falk again playing that character. The whole time I'm watching whatever I'm watching, you know, Crispin Glover. It's Crispin Glover. Still Crispin Glover playing that character. And so I'd rather just have someone I don't know, because then I'm like, well, that's the character. I don't have to worry about the
totally
cult of personality.
By the same logic, though, I would agree with that in every movie almost.
Yeah, almost every movie, yeah. Especially superhero movies. Well, sometimes superhero movies.
You into the superhero movies?
I'm tired of them.
we share another opinion.
Yeah, it's just like, it had a good run, and I hope that society can evolve to a higher art form. I mean, they're children's movies. You know, it's like, I agree with, I forgot which director it was. He got in some hot water when he was calling Marvel movies or superhero movies children's movies, but they are children's movies.
They're meant to inspire, right? And make people be a better person and all
that.
Yeah,
there's some morality tales there, but now it's just, it serves as like it's an advertisement for the military industrial complex.
Yeah, it has switched out.
It's like, oh, we got two F-35s in this shot. And it's like, oh, well, this is the new naval destroyer. And like, don't get me wrong, I research military technology. Like, I know most of the programs that are out there.
So you're unimpressed with UFOs?
I'm kind of unimpressed with UFOs. And I'm impressed with the stuff that she used to put in those movies. But I'm just like, you could have at least chosen the shoulder-mounted version. But no, but you know, I don't know. They're just there's. I mean, once in a while you get a good superhero movie. There's probably like 9 superhero movies.
You're so kind. I can think of like 2 that I like. What are a few of them?
I'm just saying 9 because there's probably some I'm not thinking about, because they've been around since the 80s, right?
But I mean, what? The only ones I like, the only ones that I can even relate to, are the ones that they're not actually superheroes. They're regular human people who either have access to
like
tons of funds. Well, I was going to say
Batman
or
for sure.
Iron Man. Iron Man 1 specifically.
Oh, Iron Man 1 was the best Iron Man.
Because it's like, oh, it's just a guy with resources and a really good brain who's going like, well, I got to fucking figure some shit out.
Yes, Iron Man was awesome. That really inspired me. Like when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's cool. Like just like him developing the technology in his lab and like, you know, and all the stuff and all the accidents that were happening. He's working with his AI.
He's got the AI, that little thing.
Jarvis, yeah.
Jarvis.
I absolutely love that. And then, but... Not all Batmans were great. I mean, the Batmans in the 90s were pretty, some of them were pretty stupid. Like, I was like,
the first one is really the only one I like. The Michael Keaton first one.
Oh, yeah, Michael Keaton first one. Yeah, it was great. With Prince doing the soundtrack.
Yes, good call on that. And then you almost have to fast forward to Chris Nolan.
Oh, you almost deaf? Are you kidding? Definitely. Definitely. I mean, aside from Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, she had some pretty great scenes.
That was Tim Burton and Keaton, so I'll give that one a pass.
That was good. But no, I mean, what was the trilogy of the Nolan ones? It was
Batman and Robin. Oh, you're right. Batman Begins.
The Dark Knight. And those Dark Knight's the one with Heath Ledger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That whole idea of grounded, like a grounded superhero movie with that kind of a budget. I mean... I fell into that world. You know, I really fell into that world. I think that's a comic book movie at its best. Then you know, I really loved The Winter Soldier.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's worth it. I really loved it. I thought, because it's basically it's a spy thriller. It's like an espionage thriller. So it's like 7 Days of the Condor.
I love that one.
Okay.
We just watched that, actually.
Okay. Well, weirdly, Robert Redford is in this.
You remember that one where he goes into work and everybody's dead? And then we got to figure out how and why. Faye Dunaway, I think, as well. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, what was that movie that was out recently with the young guy? It was kind of like it was a Jack Ryan-style show, and it was pretty recent, and... this guy's an analyst or something like that. And he shows up to work and like everybody's dead. There's like a hit squad that came in there and took everybody out, and then he ends up escaping. So it's got kind of a little bit of the 70s. But it was a good show. I can't remember what it was, but anyways, that's kind of like the 7 Days of the Condor has that intrigue, that thrill. It's a thriller, and so the thriller aspect is like what Captain America. Winter Soldier was about. So there's like the spy stuff.
Oh, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay. Captain America. I didn't say that.
And I think that's maybe the second one then?
I think it is the one. Yeah, it is the second one.
Somebody made me watch the first Captain America. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Origin, whatever. Yeah. But that one's great just because it's smaller in scope.
I like that.
And Bucky is introduced, you know, whatever his name is, the superhero name with the one metal arm. I forget. Anyways, he's got the one metal arm. He's a bionic arm, but it's played by Bucky, whatever his friend, Bucky. Bucky Barnes.
Biddy,
Bucky. G-Buck. Biggie. Yeah. No, it's not that guy. It should have been, though. Twiggy. But, like, the physics are so good. Like, in the beginning where you first see the Winter Soldier, I guess it is the Winter Soldier. Yeah,
that's
Bucky's name is partially CG, but like it's done correctly. Like, you know, when you first encounter the Winter Soldier, you don't know who the hell it is, but he just comes off as hyper menacing. And you're like, oh my God, he's going to kill whatever his name is, who's Samuel L. Jackson's character.
God damn! You're saying a lot of things I like. I love Sam Jackson.
Who does he play? He plays the head of the fucking organization. Anyways,
it's Marvel.
Guy with the eye patch. I know it doesn't really matter, but you know, he's in this SUV and this guy, and they get attacked, and you're like, he's not going to survive this. Like this, whoever is attacking them is incredibly powerful, and it's that Bucky Barnes, whatever guy, Winter Soldier guy. But it's like all the physics of everything that he does is so great. It's like, I'm like, oh, this is good. The writing's good. It's believable. There's these really cool tense scenes. God, so that one, I'll give the second Suicide Squad, the one that James Gunn directed with the shark dude in it.
We don't watch any of these.
Oh, well, that one.
I mean, I'm going to watch that one based on your recommendation.
Yeah, that one's great because it's funny and like it's almost has like, if you ever watched The Boys, that series, it's a superhero series, but it's like very dark, very adult. But it deals like with like if superheroes were actually in our society, like the litigiousness that's involved in it.
Oh, I love that.
And
it's I like that a lot.
Very grounded, very like it's. You don't really see them use their powers that much. It's mostly them like vying for power and public perception.
Oh, interesting. Oh, it's politics.
Pretty, yeah, it's politics.
I should have just lost that thought completely. The politics erases my brain.
Yeah.
Religion,
yeah.
Politics, and money.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't have an opinion. Sorry.
No. I'm with you. But when shows put that, you know, in situations where you're normally not used to that, such as a superhero context,
yeah.
And it grounds it, and you're like, oh, this is an interesting take on this, because how would these people react to these types of things? But,
The first X-Men I kind of dug, too,
first because X-Men was good.
It was similar with the, like, these are just gifted people living in a society.
Yes.
Our society.
I enjoyed that. Some of the X-Men were great.
I think only the first one for me, and then it became a little too superhero-y.
Yeah, and I can't think of any of the. I mean,
you seem to like the sequels, though. It seems like the Winter Soldier, and then you mentioned another one, which is the second James Gunn one.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, because the first Suicide Squad was kind of junky. It was. I mean, Will Smith was in it, and like you know, it was all right. It was just like dark and confusing, and it always. Just get tired of at the end of a show a giant beam going into the sky. It's like always some kind of a beam going into the sky and hordes of faceless, nameless aliens that they have to blow up.
Is that their bat signal? They got to put a beam into the sky?
I don't know. It's the bad guys. It's like the bad guys. Like there's some beam that's going into the sky that's going to destroy the planet. You know?
Oh, I see. It always ends in a beam. Kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's like some blur. You know, and you're like, oh man, this is it. It's the end of the planet. It's just like, yeah, but it was the end of the planet like 13 movies ago.
It's Marvin the Martian, right? With his little laser.
Yeah, thing.
Yeah. Yes.
I will kill you with my X5 321
space modulator. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Marvel. It's the space modulator problem. It's been written about in academia for.
So is that what we're at? Like, basically, it's going for the globalization.
Yeah.
It's on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just dumb. And then there's just like, you know, and they can't figure out what they are. Joker was great.
I mean, come Joker, on. Joker, to me,
it was Taxi Driver, but as Joker.
So good you say that. It felt both like Taxi Driver and to us, you ever see, what the hell is the one with Robert De Niro as the
King of Comedy?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
It felt like a sequel to King of Comedy.
It was those two movies. Yeah, it was those two movies blended together, yeah.
Holy smokes. Yeah,
it was
a powerful one. And I got it. I mean, you mentioned before, like one of the best Jokers in the world, Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. That hard to compare.
And they're making a sequel, which people thought wasn't going to happen because they thought it was like a one-off.
Didn't seem possible, but at the end, he gets out of the cop car, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to see because it's going to have to get a little bit more superhero-y. Because
the backstory's
there. Yeah, there was no, you saw no superheroics at all. You just saw basically a mentally ill person who falls into a deep psychosis and acts out their inner demons and then is supported and rewarded by the outside world who also is equally depraved.
He's not just mentally he's not just struggling.
Yeah.
He also seems to be up against every single hardship. All of his friends suck. He's got no money. His mom's ill. Like he literally just is at the bottom of the barrel in every way and has nowhere to go but nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Nowhere to go but nuts.
His shoulders dislocated. That whole thing I thought was amazing when he stands up and cracks himself into place.
I know. It's heavy. I mean, I can't see like what if Batman appears in it. Like, what is Batman going to look like? Because the grounded nature of it, it's going to have to look much different. Because even the Batman with Twilight guy,
didn't see that one.
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful, and some of the shots, like him taking out the guys that have the machine guns, but it's completely in the dark, and so it's only lit by the guns going off.
The
fire from the barrels coming out, and so you see like strobes of him like beating people up, and like.
But wait, why are there guns in a Batman movie? Like even that confuses me.
Well, because of the crooks, you know, like he walks in and he surprises a gang of people, and they start firing at him. And, you know, and then they, like, shoot him a bunch of times through his arm, and he's like, ah! And he's like, you can tell it hurts really badly, but he keeps fighting. It's pretty sick. But
I guess
the acting
gets shot, doesn't he? There's always
he always gets
Batman.
Shot. Yeah, he just never gets shot in the face, which is the only unprotected area. But he never gets shot there.
Shoot me in the jaw, right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, don't shoot
the
here. Yeah, the non cowl area. Yeah, don't cowl me, bro. But you can cowl on me. But yeah. Anyways, you know. But superhero. I'm looking forward to other things going on. I just saw the new Miyazaki cartoon animated feature, and that is a masterpiece. I mean, I was like, this is 1,000 times more engaging than any Marvel movie, any superhero movie. This is art.
Is it the art or the storytelling?
It's all of it. The wow. storytelling is amazing. The art, the artwork's amazing. I mean, he's a master. He's 90 years old now. It's probably going to be his last animated film.
Wow.
He's incredible. But anyways, that I saw that and I was like, ugh, if we could just have stuff that's a tenth that good, that would be great. Because these Marvel movies are just, you know, or like Blue Beetle and like everyone trying to get in on these superhero movies. Like, it's over.
For me, once Disney bought Star Wars and Marvel, they both sort of started to dilute.
Totally. Yeah. Of course, it's not good. I mean, you know, Star Wars, you have one good series, Andor. Everything else is like, okay. Ahsoka's okay. Not terrible. Obi-Wan's like boring as fuck.
So every character has their own series now? Is that the idea?
Basically. Yeah.
It's who too much. That's time?
Such, yeah, money, money,
that's
money.
But that's not even for the fans. That is a money metric.
It's just
that's
money.
Just, oh, we're buying it because we know we can break it all out. Oh,
totally, but that's a lot of content time.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're spending
2 hours each.
Yeah, and I'm like, well.
And some of them have series, like TV series where they're 10 episodes or
oh,
whatever.
Totally. No, yeah, most of them are.
Most people can't speak English anyway, so 10 hours on a series makes
with subtitles.
Are you watching new? Do you watch new movies? Are you watching stuff? Gran Turismo, I wanted to ask specifically.
Oh, I didn't see that. I heard it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Same here. We have it. It's ready to be watched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can't bring myself to do it, even though everybody I know and respect tells me it's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a cool concept, the idea of, like, you know, sim racers transitioning into real racing.
Well, it's a true story.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's about a real kid who started racing on Gran Turismo and then went on to become a famous race car driver.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. It
still doesn't make me want to.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm not moving on that either.
What about the new Paul Thomas Anderson one? We just watched that. Asteroid City?
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen that.
I feel like you might dig that one.
Yeah, I always like his aesthetics.
Yeah?
This
is a cool universe, a cool little world to live in for a little bit.
Yeah. It's really got, I don't know. It's just, it's great. I love the feeling of it. I love the dialogue, how it's like just really terse, very quick and, you know, clever and cute. And,
I agree with all that, but I still go back to Rushmore as my favorite one, probably, even though I like all of them.
Yeah. I mean, Rushmore's incredible. It's very, it resonates on many, many levels. I mean, they all have their great charms, but yeah, you're right. That's a good one. That's a great one. And his MasterCard commercial.
What?
Or his American Express.
He did one.
commercial.
Really?
Yeah. What's his name, the director?
Paul Thomas Anderson. The other Anderson. It's Wes Anderson.
Anderson Cooper.
Wes Anderson Cooper.
He directed, I think it was either American Express or MasterCard, but I think it was American Express commercial. And I thought that was pretty amazing. I was like, well, that guy, that's a paycheck. But he did it the way he wanted to. I mean, it was very him, but yeah, I love his aesthetics. They're great. It's wonderful. I don't have any other modern movies I've seen out there.
No, that's okay, because we haven't been to the theater in so long, but as soon as they come out on Apple TV, we usually watch
them. Yeah, totally. Good call.
We mentioned the Avengers before, though. Porsche, the Avengers headquarters is one Porsche drive down in Atlanta, which is kind of cool. That's always fun, yeah.
Oh.
Did you know that? Not know that?
Uh-uh.
The mothership in Atlanta is Avengers headquarters.
Why?
That's where they shot it. That's where they shoot it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it. Okay.
Like the building and the inside, the staircase and all that.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Porsche's rad, man. They're good. They're good at what they do.
What's going on with you and your cars? You still have them?
Yeah, still.
Sweet.
Still trying to hold on to them. You know, I'm like doing as many gigs as I can and make sure I can make those car payments.
Trying to be Mr. Responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because I want to hold on to them. I love driving those cars. I love having them. They're great.
Is it because they're so... Is it just... Why are they both so important?
Well, I mean, the 911 is super amazing because I'm always learning every time I get into that car and drive. I'm always just doing various things, like, you know, trying new things. It's just like an amazing thing to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And the Taycan is great. It's definitely like the suspension. I maybe need to get my suspension looked at, but I bottom out a lot. Like, this is a heavy car. And so.
And you're driving it like the 911.
Yeah, and I'm driving it like the 911. So it's bottoming out a lot. I mean, I can figure it out a little bit, but.
That does seem like it shouldn't. Is it doing it more than it used to?
It feels like it might be doing it more than it used to. I try tightening up the suspension too. I'll put the suspension setting a little bit more stiff, and sometimes that helps. But I'm also considering figuring out how to get the Sapphire, the Lucid Sapphire, which would be...
Oh, thank you so much for the invite to that thing, by the way. We couldn't end up going.
No worries.
How was that launch for the Lucid?
Oh, it was great. The Gravity. Mm. It was really good. Met the CEO, Peter... something. He was just a delight. He talked about the design of the car and like what he fought for, and you know, and then he talked about the Sapphire as well, and he talked about how, you know, just elements of the Sapphire, what they were going for, and the benchmarks that they were trying to hit. And they have a Porsche Taycan Turbo S as a benchmark car as well. For it. But yeah, I'm very excited about the Sapphire. I know that they're making a 3-motor Taycan, so I'm like a little like, you know, but Sapphire will still be there.
Were you into the Lucid before going to this thing recently?
I was interested in Lucid for sure. And I drove, they gave me one to drive for a week.
Oh, that's nice.
So I drove that around and man.
In LA?
In LA, yeah.
Sweet.
And it's got like S-class ride, but it's got that brutal acceleration because I drove the GT Performance.
It's like 1,200 horsepower.
It's like 11, something like that. Perfect. Yeah, it's like 11, and then the Sapphire is 1, 2, 3, 4. It's more than that, but it's.
But that's what they regulate.
Yeah, they just write 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my God. But that car is like, that's an amazing car. The Sapphire is insane. I mean, 0-60, 1.85 seconds.
Are you feeling the difference at that point from the lightning fast that your car is to the lightning fast of a Tesla or a Lucid or whatever else?
I think for me, it's in an electric car, it's about suspension, the ride, because the Sapphire, I think, is going to be a tiny bit stiffer, a little bit, but I hear that it soaks up all the potholes and all the rough roads in California like really, really well. The Taycan... It's comfortable, but like I've said, it bottoms out really easily, and I hate that.
You might be due for a warranty service or something.
Yeah.
I've never heard that from anybody.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too, and maybe it's just because I expect too much of it or something.
That's not fair. You bought a very expensive, very nice car that should be able to drive around without bottoming out. I appreciate you being a nice guy about it.
Yeah.
Not wanting to upset the mothership.
It's my fault, man. Yeah, I know, totally. Sorry, Porsche.
Avengers headquarters.
Yeah, Avengers. Yeah, but anyways, I enjoy them, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I love driving them. It's just fun.
Is that helpful?
I'm just so happy to see you. Sometimes I feel like you're here and you're so used to being on real TV that like it switches into like, oh yeah, I gotta say some shit. Whereas the truth is, I just love hanging out with you, man.
No, I mean, same with me. I'm just like, all right, let's hang out. It's good. It's good.
Real Zach Clapman says hello from the Smoking Tire Show.
Oh, hey.
you know Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mitch says hello to you. Have a wonderful early birthday, Nicole.
Thank you.
Dr. Michi Okaku, nice.
Amazing last week. Thanks for helping me so much. I just wanted to say, oh, that's horse shit. I hate when I get looped into that. Some Bitcoin bullshit.
Oh, no.
Thank you to so-and-so for helping me get me on my financial freedom.
I don't much like that. That's not cool. It's not very nice.
Jay Leno was there last Friday.
Yeah.
And he rode a suitcase around the parking lot.
Oh, the Honda thing. They had it?
Yeah.
The little Honda scooter.
It was right before the big launch the next day.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
It came out in a concept car, I think, in the 90s, and then they brought it back.
I remember that. And yeah. I remember, like, the technology wasn't there yet. It would, like, wear out by the time you got to the other side of the park.
It's still not.
Yeah.
It might be. I don't know. You want to see it?
Yeah, I really want to see it. From what I wish I wish I could have written it.
All right. Let's play a round of Is This Anything? Roll it out. It's like, wait, what?
Oh my god, that portrait of Jesus. Yeah!
Gotta love the tuck.
Tuck is good. That's so cool. Damn.
I don't know. I don't know how old he is, but that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Ride that around that gravelly parking lot.
For sure. I mean,
I was a little nervous.
Really,
like,
he's a DIY
guy. I don't know
if
that's a good idea. It's not a good idea.
Especially after his motorcycle accident that he had long.
Yeah, he set himself on fire and then like, he recovered from that and he wiped out on the motorcycle. But yeah, he's still out doing it.
Well, he loves vehicles. He's just like a lifer.
He brought my favorite car that he owns, which was that red Mercedes Gullwing. It's lightweight Gullwing race car. Super cool.
Is it? It's not an SLS.
SL.
It's an SL.
Yeah, SL. Okay. But it's like a lightweight, some aluminum lightweight version or something. It's really cool.
What a gorgeous car. Jeez.
I know it's hard to like have a favorite when somebody's got 100 and something cars, but that's the one I love the most.
Oh, I mean, it's so unique, and it's like any Gullwing situation. And I learned that the Gullwing was a practical decision to do that.
That's right,
because like the racing regulations said that you needed to have a door, and it needed to have I think two hinges or something like that. But they were messing with something like aerodynamically, and so they're like, well, we'll just mount the door, we'll put the hinges on top, and they showed up like that, and they're like, it's within regulations, and everyone was like, oh man, that sucks. Like, you guys suck because you're so good at engineering.
As a DeLorean guy my whole younger life, obviously the Gullwing was a big deal, but I always heard in the Mercedes that it was a safer car too because of the amount of space between and the rigidness of because it's built sort of more like a convertible with less rigidness on top and more on the side rockers.
Yeah.
And the width, I don't know if you've ever actually tried to get in one of those cars.
Oh, because
it's like
sill
a foot
really
or a
thick,
foot and
right?
a half of sill. Yeah, you kind of have to squeeze over.
Oh.
It's pretty wild. The steering wheel tilts like this on a hinge so that you can get into it and then
pre-removable
lock the steering wheel down.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. 1955. That's cool. Wow. It's pretty damn cool.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty rad. I mean, I got to sit in GT3 R.
Did you go for a ride or just sat in it?
Ren Speed. I just sat in it.
Okay.
I saw it run once. They had one of their junior drivers took it for a spin, and it was cool to see it in operation.
They're not running it too much because it's one of one, right?
It's one of one right now, but production starts, I think, next year.
Oh, man. So how was it? How did it sound? How it looks, but how is it in person?
It's a beast. I mean, it just sounds incredible. I mean, it's very similar to the R. It's just a pretty boy R. That's really what it is. It's more refined. That whale tails spoiler in the back is got, or the wing in the back has a, it's like smooth. There's no bolts that go through the wall of the side of the wing, how it wraps up.
Uh-huh.
The winglets on the side, they made sure that the screws attach from inside. It's hollow in there. And so it attaches inside the hollow space to the inside. And that way the outside remains like smooth and clean. So everything is like very aesthetically oriented. They have those body cuts that are in like the GT3 RS and also in the Mission R, that the concept car, same body cuts like towards the back to like depressurize the wheel well section.
Lets the air out.
And it lets the air out. And the aero is like pretty intense, but it's not active, so it's all adjustable wings. So, and it's insane. It's just prettier. Like, you open up the door on the side, it's got the same components as the R would, but the R is just rougher because it's more like we need this wire harness to be exposed and going into the race logic box, going into the fuel management computer, going into the, and everything's modular. So when you open up the passenger door, it's just a bunch of modules sitting there, and you can just go in. They have a USB, like a hardcore USB stick that they just pull between laps. So when they like stop for, they pressurize it with the air so that the car can jack itself up with the peg stands. So it's like that. They replenish, the door opens up, they just pull that USB stick, and then they put the new one in there.
And all of the data is
all there. They're getting real-time telemetry as well, but it's just like, it's everything is like, so we can access it, and it only takes us eight seconds to change drivers and refuel the car.
Change drivers, wheels.
Yep, wheels, everything, fuel. Yeah. I mean, they have a portable refueler. It's just like a cart.
It's not the guy with the big 76 can anymore.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah, they got rid of that. Porsche developed their own fueling system. So it's like the hood goes up, and they just pull these two things, and they just slap the hoses in there, and they calculate how much fuel they want for how many laps
based
they want.
Based on weight, yeah.
Based on weight. And they punch in that number, 46.6 liters or whatever, and it pumps it in there, exactly 46.6 liters. They pull it off, close the hood. It's refueled. Compression air is recompressed, new tires if they need new tires, and then new driver.
It's a level of precision. We've entered a level of precision now in motorsport that I don't think I knew was possible when I was a kid. We'd get to a certain place in our lifetime. Yeah. But I had no idea. It's been such an exponential climb.
It's insane. I mean, it's insane. It's so cool. Both project managers were there. So the project manager for the 911 GT3 Cup and the GT3R were there. And they went over with me and Johnny. They went from the beginning of the car, tip of the car, all the way back, all the modifications they did. And how they pull it from the 992. It's a 992 chassis. Right. But they pull it before all the fancy consumer stuff goes in. So the car gets built to a certain point, and then it goes off the line.
No kidding.
And then that goes to a third-party company that does all the wire harnessing, so all the harnesses. So that goes in. And oh, sorry, not the wire harnesses, the roll cage. So the roll cage gets custom welded, you know, by a third-party person. Then that goes back to them. Then they put in all the harnesses and the special wheels and the race suspension and all of it. And that's them. And then they finish the car.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is so cool about Porsche in general, but 911s, is that like the base one and the most duded up race car are from the exact same assembly line.
Same frame.
The same tub, same frame. To me, that's the coolest because it means you can do anything you want with it.
Yeah,
there's not one that isn't built to do something else.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct. Yeah. And the R is... You know, the Cup is a raw car. There's no assistance. There's no ABS. There's no assistance at all. It's just what the car is, how powerful it is. And the junior drivers, because they train, you know, they have a driver's training program that starts like you can be as young as 15 years old and be driving for Porsche and learning. And so all the drivers that drove us, they were like 20, 21, 22. The guy who drove me, he was so fast. I mean, it was insane. And then there's this guy that was faster that drove some people that he got the fastest lap time there, like at the actual track, like in the history of the track.
While you're doing your ride and drive, they accidentally broke a record?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not even competing.
Yeah, no, not even competing. But he's just like, I got to go fast. He's just like, I have to drive fast. I can't not Ricky drive Bobby. Fast. Yeah, yeah, totally Ricky Bobby.
So what was it like to be doing that at speed in one of those cars?
Oh, I mean, it was insane. I mean, I was in the GT3 Cup, so it's a little bit slower than the R. a little bit.
Fine.
But, I mean, the late braking is insane. You know, you're going 185 miles per hour down a straight. And then you see essentially a left-hand extreme corner.
It's
basically like a U. It's a U. And you're like heading towards it. And then you're like, oh, he's not stopping. We're still going that fast. We're still going that fast. And it's just coming up, and it's approaching imminently. And then you can see where the braking points, like all the tire marks where people do brake. And it's just before the turn. And it's such, and you know, you're in the 4-point harness and I've got a halo and a helmet, you know, and I'm just have my hands in my lap and it's just, he hits the brakes. It's just like, you know, it's insane how much you're just being thrown around in that car, because everything's about line and inertial management. Like, I don't want to lose speed on this corner. What's the fastest I can take this corner? How wide can I go? Like, how these chicanes, like I'm going over whatever the guards are. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. that's, you're supposed
rumble
to go.
Rumble strips.
Yeah, rumble strips. So you go over them and they use those because it's legal to use them.
Yeah.
And, but you get it. Like, driving with a car, like driving with a driver like that, I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. I get it. I get what he's doing. The only thing I think I would have trouble with is two pedal driving. Left foot brake. Right foot gas,
yeah.
And paddle shifting. I've mm-hmm. never, even though I have paddle shifting in my 911, I never really use it because it's, I don't know. It's just, I mean, the PDK is so fast. So.
Oh, interesting. Really? I would have thought for sure you'd be playing with that.
No, I wasn't playing. I'm not playing with that. I mean, I'd love to maybe spend some time on Sims and get, like, go to that, whatever that Sim place.
But if you're doing that, I would imagine they're doing a lot of left foot braking, not yeah. necessarily just to brake, but racing braking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Corner braking.
Yeah, trail braking and, like, okay. yeah, and just managing the car, getting rotation.
But you can drive stick fine too, right?
I can drive stick, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So stick. You're used to all that pedal work, just a little different in that speed of a car.
Yeah, I think the R's don't have clutches. I think the cup cars have clutches.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, that's wild.
I think if that's right. But, I mean, it was amazing, and it was amazing to watch. And it was dude from Top Gear, the bald guy with glasses, British guy. He recently got to drive the Gordon Murray T50.
I don't know what it is.
I forget his name, but he's like kind of he's like 5'8", really fit, completely shaved, bald.
Oh, not Chris Harris.
British guy. No, not Chris Harris. He's this other dude, but I've seen him in a bunch of Top Gear stuff. But so he was there. He drove the R and the Cup, and then
he drove them himself.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
wow.
let him drive. Yeah. Very impressive. And Johnny drove both.
He did?
Yeah. Didn't even need it. He doesn't have a racing license.
No shit. Oh, but he's raced Pike's Peak.
Yes.
I mean, he's got, he's all accredited.
That's what they gave. They're like, well, he did that.
He didn't go flying off the mountain. I think he can handle our flats.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny didn't die. And Johnny did okay. So Johnny's a good driver. He's a great driver. And, you know, and I'm thankful because, you know, Johnny Lieberman, I think he was pretty much responsible for me to go to the Mission R event in Mallorca. Because he knew how much I loved electric cars, and like the Mission R was, you know, it's a legendary.
It's the only electric car I've ever been excited about in my life.
Yeah, yeah. The Mission R was like, okay, center mass, electric car. What's that like?
And the videos that you guys sent in to the rest of us, the videos you guys posted, showed that the thing actually working. So you could see that electric cars are usually kind of silent and there's not a whole lot to them. This has all kind of sounds and vibrations and
sounds
everything.
Like a
it's a race car still.
Yeah, it's a giant RC car. It sounds like when you run an RC car and you're there.
Yes.
But imagine that like 1,000 times louder.
But you got tire squeaks and there were other kind of whines and weird sounds that just made it sound very, very mechanical. And I don't think of that when I think of electric cars. I think of not many moving parts.
Yes. Yeah. You think of it as kind of like a ghostly thing. It's just like magic power. But no, that car has it. And also the e-performance, which I never got to see. I was at Goodwood Festival of Speed and they had the 718.
E-performance. I forgot.
Yeah,
about
and
that
it was
one.
Supposed to run it, but they had some kind of a malfunction, so they didn't get to do the run. But it was there. I saw it. I didn't get to see it.
It doesn't look any different, does it?
Looks like a 718, like a racing 718. It just looks like a race car.
Threw some aero on it, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it was an aero and a bunch of, you know, like livery with like numbers and technical stuff on it. But I don't know what's going on with that, but I imagine, you know, between that and the Mission R, that's what's informing them about the 718. That they will eventually release as an electric car. But I heard the Macan is really nice
too. The new Macan.
Yeah. Everybody that I was asking the drivers, and Timo Bernhardt was there. Who's got the Nordschleife record.
Very nice.
And the 919 Evo.
Is that right?
Yeah, he drove the 919 Evo, and like I don't know what his record is right now. I want to say it's 30 seconds ahead of anything.
Oh my Lord, are you kidding?
He was going, watch his run. Just put in Timo Bernhardt, Nordschleife.
They're into the sixes now on that thing, right?
Yes, the sixes. Yeah, it's sixes. But that run, it'll give you anxiety. It'll give you, it'll tell, like I was, my heart rate was so high watching it. And it's just a static camera, you know, it's just a camera facing out this way. And then one camera, I think, of him, I think like a little window of like a camera on him. And then there's the racetrack, and it shows you the position of the racetrack as he's going. And then the speed and some other information. And that's all it is, just for the entire run. And it's just, I can't believe how fast that thing is going. I mean, it's going so fast. And Porsche is like, and he, there's a point at which he's maxed out the gears. You know, the car could go faster if they added a gear.
No shit.
He just didn't have it. So he was just right on the edge of that gear. You just hear like,
oh my God.
Just not, it doesn't, it can't go any higher. And it wants to, but it can't. I mean.
That's wild. I didn't know we, so this is back to what I was saying before. Like, I didn't know we'd get there in this lifetime.
I know.
That speaking of Star Wars earlier, that Phantom Menace came out in the 90s and it had the, you know, the pod race or whatever.
Yes.
And I was like, ah, that's ridiculous. You could never have any. That's just stupid hogwash. I mean, we're fucking there. We're still on the ground. We're not flying. But...
No. Yeah. But then that's going to happen with drones.
The drones are already doing
it. Oh, actually, what says it? Oh, by production road car is by the AMG 1. 6 minutes, 35.18 seconds.
That's amazing. 6:35.
For a production car. However.
And that's the Mercedes AMG GT?
Yeah. AMG 1.
Oh.
You know, that like Indy car. They took an Indy engine and they, but they like the
Are
project.
Are calling
was
that
like,
a production car?
Yeah, we're going to take that Indy engine and put it into a production car. I mean, it is technically a production car.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the lap record? Okay, on 9.919. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is insane. 5 minutes, 19 seconds.
No. What? In what? In
the 919 Evo?
Are you kidding me?
This man that like is like super casual that I've met many times, Timo Bernhardt. Just like, hey, all right, babe, that's cool, man. What do you been? Like, he's just all super chill. You're like, this person, that is.
What does that look like?
Stupid. I'm telling you.
The whole thing's blurry.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just watch the video. It's just insane. I mean, I didn't get to see the after celebration, but I mean, like, to the nerves of steel. I mean, at that rate and in that car, I don't know. I don't
What's
know.
What's the warm up for that like?
I don't know.
You're not doing jumping jacks.
I don't know,
are
man.
You?
I mean, I'm sure like
Red Bull.
I don't know because like you know that's the
cocaine?
Thing.
Cocaine. How do you get there?
I don't know. I mean, I know that the young drivers were telling me that like Le Mans, the 24-hour races, the endurance races, it's tough on their left foot. Because the brake pedal, there's no assistance to the brakes.
Right.
Just because the drivers want to feel the brakes.
Uh-huh.
But it's so heavy. It's a heavy pedal. So I'm just imagining like, well, his run was five minutes. I'm sure it wasn't that taxing on his left foot, but it's like...
Hilarious.
You know?
Hilarious.
But like if you're driving for six...
I'm not sure it works that way.
Well, you know, driving 2 hours...
If you do the 10-minute workout in 5 minutes, I'm pretty sure it's harder, not easier.
Oh my God.
6 minute abs. 5 minute abs.
Five
4 minute abs.
I can't believe that. 5:19 and what was the one in the AMG one? 35. 6 minutes, 35 seconds. That's it's more than a minute.
But it's faster than what I would think physics would allow.
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna see those numbers improve until I think maybe an electric car.
I know, that's the thing of it. Electric will, because of the low center of gravity, the insane amounts of torque and power.
Yeah. As long as they can make it light enough.
I know, if but again, the light... center of gravity. I mean, like, they have a... They fake
that's
weight.
A power.
They
yeah,
play
power
with weight
thing.
In ways that doesn't make sense, those electric cars.
Yeah, it's true. It does feel like... I mean, the Taycan, despite, like, the heavy, like when the big dips and things like that, and you feel the weight of the car.
Despite where yours is currently bottoming out.
Yes, where mine is bottoming out at times. Aside from that, it feels very nimble. It's a very nimble. I mean, I drive that car like, I mean.
That's what I mean. They're hiding the weight with electronics really, really well these days.
Yeah, they are, and I'm that's why I'm interested about the Sapphire. I think I want to approach Lucid and ask them to, like, do you need a spokesperson?
Yeah.
For your thing, I would love to trade. You know, so I could like trade in the.
Just let them give you one for a year.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's true. I could have one.
And then you figure it out on the next one.
And then maybe the three motor Taycan.
Just saying, whatever happens.
I just Porsche's tough to get away from. Like once you go Porsche, it's I feel like it's hard to move away from you.
Anybody I know who does it.
Yeah,
comes back.
I get it. It's just, you know, I mean, the Taycan, the negatives, it's, yeah, sometimes it's a little weighty, really tiny back seats.
Super expensive,
not a lot of room. Trunk's not that big. The frunk's not that big. But I like a tight sedan. I like a cockpit.
Its size is kind of one of the things I like about it. It's a little bit smaller than the Panamera. It's a little
smaller, yeah. And new Panamera looks exciting.
I know.
That Panamera e hybrid.
I know, but at that point, why not?
I know.
I go get the smaller Taycan.
Well, the thing is, like, interesting thing about the Panamera, what I'm interested in is that the new active suspension.
Sure, you would be.
Because it's like braking, the car stays level, so it doesn't dip.
Mm-hmm. No nosedive.
So, yeah, no nosedive, and then on acceleration, it keeps the car level too. And, you know, side laterally as well. So.
And keeps it docile and comfortable, yeah, as well.
Because essentially they're building that car for China. It's a car for China.
Okay.
Because it's limousine loaded with technology. They released. They did the announcement in Shanghai.
Wow.
And the Chinese love lots and lots and lots of technology in their cars.
Yeah.
So this one has like, it's all about, you read the list. It talks about the technology first. It's the driving experience later.
Oh, I know, but what are we doing?
I don't know.
That's what happened to BMW, and look what happened to BMW.
I know. It got bloated, and like, you know, Audi can get away with it because they've always had like a technology edge, but their technology is more like the German design approach, which is like what's essential, what adds value to the experience of the car. You know, it feels a little bit more centralized rather than there's this market that demands a lot of technology. Well, let's throw in, you know, deodorizers and self-leveling aspects, and the car lowers when you crack open the door within nanoseconds, you know, whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes a car better. I definitely, the suspension thing I'm interested in because I would love that for the Taycan, or I'd love that for a Sapphire, you know.
I feel like we're just chasing ones and zeros. I feel like in the old days, right. You go to the old guy who knew how to set it up right, and then you got the car that's perfect.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's just like, oh, well, your ones and zeros are different than her ones and zeros, but if you just align your ones and zeros, you'll be driving her car.
Yeah.
And the truth is, that's you're not right. Even true either, because like your Taycan right now is having suspension things that may be specific to yours.
Yes.
So then even aligning those numbers doesn't work anymore. Just the whole... I guess I'm an old Luddite.
Well, it's tough. I mean, we're gonna see more nuance as the technology matures, and you know, Toyota's set to introduce solid state batteries.
I look forward to all of
26,
this.
26, 27.
If we can get there, I might be into it.
Yeah.
Currently, every electric car with electric power steering, I can feel the increments and the variables in the tick 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 tick. Mm-hmm. I'm like super hypersensitive. I can feel that shit. So
yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, of course. Well, it divorces you. I mean,
it's pulling you away.
Yeah, it's like you're not in the, you know. But who are those cars for? You know, I think the Taycan out of all of those, I think that's the one that preserves a 911-ish feel to it. You know, it I feel.
But even the new 911 has what I'm talking about. Like, we'll never have newer than a 997 because
that's true.
What I love about driving is there.
Or a
that's
cup.
What I love.
You should get a 911 cup car.
That would be amazing.
You get a 992, but you get that direct steering feel.
Yeah,
a
cup would be fine. Yeah. Cup anything is fine.
Yeah.
And the new GT3, honestly, whatever they're doing, I think that's the actual physical hardware in the front end that makes it feel so different. But
yeah,
the new GT3 has a lot more feeling in the front end than on, say, a 911.
Way, way more. Well, yeah. And, you know, and then the cup car, everything is replaced. So there's nothing. I don't think they're using anything. Like the suspension, there's nothing in the suspension. There's nothing in the transmission is different. The engine is the base engine is the engine, but the exhaust is different. The intakes are different. In the case of the R, they've added one more radiator in the front. Takes all of the luggage space that normally would be in the passenger car. So there's like more air intake and bigger openings, and I don't know. There's not much, like, I mean, aside from the base engine, it is the base engine, and it fluctuates between, like, what, like 600 horsepower? Like, the cup car is like 5-something.
585 or
something? 585, yeah. Something. And then the R is 600-something.
But the cup is naturally aspirated, right?
The cup is naturally aspirated.
Yeah.
And no turbos, yeah.
And the R is turbo?
I think it's turbo, yeah. The R is just a little bit more technical. It just has a little bit, but it's also lighter, weirdly. Everything's carbon.
Oh.
Except for the frame.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or the chassis. But like all the paneling, the hoods, everything is all carbon fiber.
The only thing is when it comes to the driver's experience, we're talking about that, then I would need the manual gearbox.
You know
what I mean? To have the ST, really the ST that they made sounds to be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, of course. I mean, no one's ever going to get one of those.
No, and I like the ST because that's the naturally aspirated versus the... I love it. Like, I'm going to have an option to have one of these multi-million. But the new Sport Classic, that's like the turbo
rear-wheel
drive. It's like a GT2 RS without the wing, basically, and I'm not really into all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the NA cars. I think the ST is the one. I think that's your car for sure. 100%.
I'll put my order in.
For the new ones, yeah, I mean, that's your car. Well, you should get to drive one, though, at least.
That would be fun.
You know, I mean, if one comes to Pecla or whatever, maybe we can arrange for it to, because I'd love to try it too.
Maybe we
can talk to Johnny and see if Porsche will get one. Because Porsche, Johnny mentioned that he was, and I forget the lead, the PR lead that's always at the Porsche events, and I feel like a jerk for not remembering his name. Really, really awesome guy. But he asked Johnny, you know, how it went, and he said it was really great, but, you know, we should get Reggie driving those cars. And then he was like, well, we have a race school in Alabama, and maybe so they might hook me up with some lessons.
This would be great.
I can actually,
that's down at Barber Motorsport Park, right?
Yeah So I want to try that, because everyone learn more about those cars. I want to learn about paddle shifting, and I want to
Porsche track experience, I think they call it.
Yeah, Pecla here is like you can do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
If I got the right car, if I was like, oh, let's take a GT3 out and let me learn on the GT3. I think that's a great place to start. Mm. I can work on paddle shifting and maybe, you know, braking. And it's weird to switch from like right foot only braking gas to left foot on brake and right foot on gas is almost dangerous, you know.
The first time you do it,
you're like way too hard. Yeah, you're like way too hard. You're like, that's not how you brake. Yeah. You know, and then switching, I mean, it makes sense that you would switch, you know, you'd let off and then add power. So you're like
the feather
resistant. Yeah. And you're just kind of like doing that. Mm-hmm. And you can also rotate the car a little bit. Like the 911 GT3 cup that I got to ride in, you could feel that car just like braking. It's just like breaking contact.
Even at
like,
speed.
And at speed and like around corners. And you can feel him. He's just like constantly compensating because that's the only way to keep the car fast.
And he's just playing with it the whole assistance. Time.
Yeah, there's no traction control. There's nothing. It's all off.
That must have been awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean, talk about just... You said you have your hands in your lap. Talk about just giving in.
Yeah, totally. You're just in it. And I'm trying to, like, the second time I got two rides. And second time I was just looking at his feet and how he was putting his inputs, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was really inspiring. I was like, whoa, that's cool. Oh, I kind of get it a little bit, you know.
Does it also kind of give you an idea of whatever we think the limits are on these cars? We have no clue. We think we're good drivers. We're not good drivers compared to those guys.
but they're also on perfect tracks with like a team that's managing their tires.
No deer. No rocks.
Yeah, there's no deers. There's no rocks. Like you can't. It's meant to push the limits. Here, you're risking it a bit when you're pushing limits. So you have to. It's you have to consider other people's actions and trying to do something not stupid in a zone where it's more dangerous. You
it's
know?
Literally the take it to the track.
Yeah.
Mantra.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, there's a level of driving that you can do that's pretty safe if you're a good driver and you're using good judgment. You know, like going up to good vibes or whatever, like there's some really great moments you can have and you know your car and it's pretty safe. But you can't be a fucking insane driver. I mean, I had a really fast run last night, actually, to go to Highland Park from downtown-ish, kind of Koreatown-ish. And I couldn't believe, like,
You want to talk about not a track?
Oh yeah, it's not a track.
From downtown to Koreatown.
But when you get on the two, though, it was. I made it. Like, I think I went from downtown to the Marisol exit off of the two to Gold Line. I think we made it in about 10 minutes. It was insane. Oh, wow. I think I was like averaging about like 70.
That
once I got
happen.
On once I got on the freeway.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It
That's
doesn't
amazing.
It doesn't happen. I mean, it was amazing, and like there's like the traffic was just perfectly spaced, and there were like some things where like people were encroaching and I just had a tiny space, and it's like that's the interesting thing about driving. Like most people are like, to avoid a situation you have to brake. But actually, if you've got the power, sometimes the best solution is to accelerate.
Room.
And just like get through it. And just shoot through that problem and get it in your rear view.
In their opinion, you're totally the asshole. But meanwhile, you're leaving the problem behind you and getting out of everybody's way.
Yeah, totally.
So as far as I'm concerned, both people go on and have a nice day.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, my goal is to not, I'm not going to inconvenience you. I'll be out of your way.
I won't be in your way at all.
Yeah, I'll be out of here. You won't even have to worry. But
people who cut me off or get into my lane, as long as they're zoom out of there, I don't give a foul wave and come on in.
Yeah, totally.
It's when somebody's like, I cut you off, and then they just sit there. Like,
yeah, they block your, or they block your next move. You know, you're about to like, oh, I got it. There's an open lane.
Three ahead,
and then they drift over without indicating, which I just want to strangle them. Just like, just put on your.
They're on their phone the whole time. When you finally do get around them, they're doing this the whole time.
Yeah, I'm like, drive, have fun, drive. You get to drive. That's cool. Have fun. It's a privilege. I know you don't think it is, but it is a privilege. So just drive. It's fun.
You asked, are you going to go up tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Dan Levy's going to come up too. You know Dan Levy?
Oh, he's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh no,
you're the one who originally told me about him. You said, "Hey, I met another comedian with a Porsche."
Did he come on yet?
Yeah, he's been on the show, but he's also come up there to Breakfast Club as well.
Oh, that's great.
So it'd be nice to have you both there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Go ahead. Sean Lee, everybody, is doing the Purist Group Toy Drive tomorrow, annual pop up at GVBC.
Oh, sick.
Let's see. Leno comes to GVBC. We played the video. We did kind of a nice little, can I say, did a mitzvah? I used to say did a mitzvah, a nice thing, a nice thing for somebody.
Yeah.
There's a huge Letterman fan who was part of like the Letterman alt fan group, all that stuff. The old days, the big AOL groups and everything. She was out in Los Angeles visiting her family. Her name is Marilyn Sargent, but we got wind of it, and we invited her here to come see the set and get a picture at the desk. So here's a quick video of Marilyn experiencing this for herself for the first time. Here we go. Easier said than done. That's not it.
That's true.
There we go. Marilyn, we're ready for you now. Are you prepared to come into the studio?
All right.
There's Maryland.
Here we go.
Show me where to enter.
You know where to go.
No way. I was not ready for this. Oh, wow. That is so cool. Wow. Ooh, I have
goosebumps.
That's so cool.
It was just a neat thing. Marilyn and her family were here, and we took a couple
we're just
pictures
doing an interview.
Just hanging out.
I love it.
Right? And Mike, I don't think I've known you that long, huh? It's probably not been a year.
We dialed up Mike on the big screen there up in Canada.
Oh, that's sweet.
And she got the full experience. So, Marilyn, we were delighted to host you here in the place. I hope you and your family had a good time. It was really, really great. They loved meeting Nicole there. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Nicole Power.
All the little things. So the book is out now, and people should buy it. Great Falls.
Yeah, Great Falls, Montana.
And it's based on your life growing up in Great Falls, Montana.
Me life grow up, Montana. Yeah, me life grow up. Yeah.
And it's a fun book. Easy read.
It's an easy read. I had a friend who read it in one night. It's great. Or the audiobook.
How long does it take to listen to the audiobook?
I don't know. I wonder how long it is.
You don't know?
No. I mean, I just read it.
It's got to be, it's still got to be the same length, right? It's got to be 6-7 hours long. I mean, books are forever.
Let's see.
Maybe I read slow.
Oh, it's 6 hours, 14 minutes.
Six.
Maybe 5'8".
You're right.
Oh my gosh. It is total. Wow. I don't know. It's about 7 hours.
Audible.
Yeah, audible.
You okay?
Need some water? Got some water. Got some water?
You good?
You good. Okay. Managing. Managing. Yes, I think it's something like that, like seven hours. It's not really showing.
It's okay.
That makes me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Back to superheroes. Mm-hmm. See, now that's another one. I couldn't get into any of those Hulks. And I liked the show growing up.
Yeah, the Hulks.
Yeah, the Hulk movies. Ang Lee did one and somebody else did one. Yeah, there's a few of them. I didn't really.
They're all right. Oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm done with them.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. What else is going on with you? You're still performing all over the place. I know that. You keep popping up.
Yeah, I'm still performing. I'm performing. I don't really have anything big coming up anytime soon.
That's right, but people follow you on Instagram and on the socials, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm at Reggie Watts everywhere for the most part. And I am going to be recording my comedy special on March 2nd or something like that.
Where?
At the Regent.
Here in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Can we come?
Yeah. It's a period comedy special, so everyone's going to...
What period?
1998.
I've got clothes for that. Still wearing them.
Yeah, totally. So it's going to be 1998, and everybody... I think we'll have, like, tickets that I'll, you know, give out or whatever, but, like, then there'll be... Everyone will get contacted about wardrobe and stuff like that. So
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited.
Yeah, should be good.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Is there a name, or are you just figuring it all out?
I don't have a name. It's going to be on the new platform called Veeps that's started by the two brothers in Good Charlotte.
Look at you. Randomly. Holy moly.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Super excited.
Yeah,
this
I'm really
awesome.
Excited about it. Yeah, it should be fun. It'll be fun to do it. I don't know. Pretty weird, but
I like it. You go, I don't have anything exciting coming up. Well, I mean, I am recording this comedy special in a couple months.
Well,
it's a big deal.
The comedy specials for me aren't as like it would be different if I was like I'm shooting a television show or you know I have my own television show or I have my own because that's a new thing. I've done comedy specials. This will be my fourth, and not that I'm like whatever. Like I'm not. It's not that. It's just that I kind of know what they're like. So
yes.
I'm more like. Hope it's good, you know, as opposed to, I'm really excited about this new thing that finally... I've never done it before, and I've always wanted to, that kind of thing. But it's going to be great, and I do look forward to it. And I'm going to make it really fun for everybody there that night, and there'll be a good after party as well.
Yeah, I believe you. It'll be fun for everybody. That's your thing. You're fun for everybody.
I try. that's why I'm here, guys.
Let's see. Purist Group tomorrow at GVBC. We are back here next week with Mark Karzin of the Letterman Bumpers book. He was a still photographer for Letterman back in the old day, but he's got that book out as well as some new holiday gifts that are available. We'll be talking to him on Tuesday. This weekend, I don't think a whole lot's going on that I know about. I know you and I are going to be taking it easy. How are you doing? We'll just check in real quick with you at the end here. I know.
Not good. We were just talking before. It's like, this is near the end. Like, it's shitty.
It's not fun. It's not fun. Yeah. We will be back next week to not just talk to Mark Karzin. We hopefully should be talking a little bit about Newcomb's Ranch next week. I know there are a lot of rumors out there, and I know there have been a lot of questions. There's some things we can say, there's some things we can't say, but next week we'll definitely be talking about Newcomb's Ranch. So that's it. That's what's going on.
Nice.
Welcome back, man. I love you. I've missed you a lot.
I missed you guys too.
You got the best energy. Thanks. I love you. We love you. We love all of you at home. Please love one another, and we'll see you out there. Have a great weekend.